I know, I'm not bringing up Jamar Jefferson. I promise you. Damn it, I did.
I mean, I you had to, right?
No, I had to.
It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade Chalk Podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and not with Adam Pfeiffer today. He's out, he's taking his DayQuil, he's resting up. Dude's a little bit under the weather, so he's going to be sitting this one out. But hey, do not worry. We got a special guest in the house today. We got Cody Carpentier here today to talk a really, really... And I know he's high on this guy, so a lot of love is going to be on the airwaves today. To talk Hunter Long. Cody, what's going on, man? Glad to have you on the show today.
Not too much, man. I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, we've been chopping it up on Twitter the last, you know, month, 2 months on Draft Talk. And I'm excited to dig into Hunter Long because this is one of my favorite prospects in this class, as you know. And I'm just ready to get started, man.
Dude, I've seen you out on social media talking about Hunter Long. That's why, like, I gave you a decision point in the DMs. And I was like, are we going to talk Long? Are we going to talk another tight end? Who are we going to talk today? And I was waiting for you to just be like, rah! Like, just slam dunk it home and say Hunter Long. And yes, you did. And I was like, I knew it. You know, like, I was leaning into Adam, was like, okay, should we go Brevin Jordan? And I was like, man, I know Cody loves Hunter Long. Let's talk some Hunter Long. And, of course, you backed it up, dude.
So to preface this, and you can even talk to Ray G about this, about 6 months ago, if you would ask me who my number one tight end is, regardless, like, even with Kyle Pitts playing as well as he was, I was like, ha, Kyle Pitts is growing on me. Brevin Jordan was actually my favorite tight end in this class, like at the beginning of college football this year, going into this year, just because my favorite team, the team that I follow the most in college football, is the Miami Hurricanes. And ooh, and kind of what I see in Brevin Jordan, I love. Like, right, he's got the yak ability. He can do just about everything on the field, and that's where I think a special, like, it's like a Jonnu Smith type of factor. But it just seems as the time has went on, you know, he bumps below Pitts. Mm-hmm. He bumps below Freiermuth. And I had him sitting right there at three. And when this process kind of like started kicking into high gear, you know, the last couple months, I talked about Hunter Long on one of my shows, and I had Hunter Long at five. And I said, you know, by the end of this process, it would not surprise me if he's two or three at tight end in my rankings. And after testing, I bumped him above Brevin Jordan. Hurt me, man. It hurt me. So, like, when you brought up Brevin Jordan in the chat, I was like, man, he got to know how I feel about that. I love Brevin Jordan.
I knew you thought, I didn't know you were twisted about Brevin Jordan. I knew you loved Hunter Long, but I love this decision point here that I put you against, not even knowing that I did it.
I know you did. You had no idea, but you put me against myself, and I was like, dude, oh. But I had
you're to. You're like, I want to talk about it, but I can't. But I need to, but I don't need to. I need to stay off of this.
Exactly.
That's awesome, man, dude. I'm so excited to hear that, man. So if anybody is not familiar with your awesome work, I know you put it out there. You are full-time, baby, with Roto Underworld. Tell everybody what you got going on right now for playerprofiler.com. Speak the good news, Cody.
I mean, man, we are cooking up something special at Roto Underworld, playerprofiler.com. I, like Derek just said, I'm the director of content at Player Profiler and Roto Underworld. I'm running the social media right now, doing a lot of behind the scenes things with player pages. We are currently working on getting another 300 guys populated for the good people that love the content. And I know Derek was pounding the table for the Terrace Marshall comps.
But I hit you up in the DMs. I said, "Where's my comp, man? Where's my comp?"
About a week ago, and I was like, "Man, it's coming. You just gotta stay waiting." And so, I mean, all that stuff that goes in behind the scenes, we're grinding. We're trying to improve the content for everybody. I also got a Patreon. You can check that out at Carpentier NFL on Patreon, and that's where you can find my rankings. I got Undercover Prospects shows. I got about 30 episodes of that with just all guys that maybe you haven't heard of, maybe you have, but like the Mike Strachans of the world, the Deion Jacksons of the world, guys that you want to hear about. It's a similar layout to this show. And that's really what I'm grinding on right now. So, you know, I just appreciate you having me on, man.
Dude, it's going to be fire, man. So, yeah, people need to be following you at CarpentierNFL on Twitter. Also, hey, man, we got to get your brother some love up in here. I saw you had a show going out with him. That was fantastic, man. Spit me some love about that before we get up into some Hunter Long action here.
So, my little man, I've been trying to work on him. I got him a Twitter account set up, and this dude, the handle that he picks is at NFL Youngest GM.
Like he came strong with it.
The mentality of this kid is just strong. He just wants it, and it surprised me because, like, as a youngster, you know, we all, I don't know, for me, I would like read the newspaper, get all my information. I knew the numbers, etc., like that. This kid is following in that same foot. I'm like, this. He surprises me sometimes, and so I was like, bro, he always plays Fortnite, wants to do stuff. I was like, do you want to do a podcast? He's like, let's do a podcast. I was like, all right, we'll just start talking shit on the mic. And so I got him a little mic, and I think we've done 5 episodes now. It's called Tiger Ball, and it's still low key, but I'm just trying to let this kid grow. And he's 10, he's going to turn 11 here in 2 weeks. And I mean, he's just a little spitfire for being what he is.
I've seen some clips out there on social media, man. It's awesome. And it's good stuff to see them, man. I mean, you gotta love it, dude.
So speaking of tight ends, this is something I put on social media and it got a couple clicks, but I was doing a podcast with him and we were talking about tight ends. And I said, so what do you think about Kyle Pitts? And he's like, I never told him to say anything. He goes, Kyle Pitts is going to be a top 3 tight end of all time by the time it's said and done. And I was like, woo. I was like, what? And he's like, top 3 all time, Tony Gonzalez, Kellen Winslow. I go, bro, how old are you? And he's like, I was like, you never watched Kellen Winslow? You've never watched Kellen. It's like, I don't even know if you've watched Tony Gonzalez. And he's like, he's going to be top 3. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can't argue with you. I mean,
you're like, all right, I got you. That's cool. I mean, hey, you got the boomer comps in there. You're layering it for people. You got to love it, man. I mean, he's hitting all the angles.
I was like, I've seen worse, like, takes. I've seen hotter takes on social media. So it's like, yep. Hey, I mean, it's your take, man. I love it. And that's what I love about the kid. He at all times, it doesn't matter. Like, he'll talk shit about Tua. I mean, even – I don't know if you like Tua or not, but – he doesn't like Tua. That's just he'll go in on everybody, and that's really what I love about it, just having him on there. We try to do a podcast like every week or every other week. That's kind of the goal. We've only done 5, but I'm just trying to slowly grow him into it.
Dude, I love that, and you gotta love the fact of like you cultivating that from a young age, like getting him into these streets and stuff like that. It's good, man. I mean, look, that we talk about all the different things like off air about like football and social media and the struggles and things like that. But there's also that continuity, that family aspect, the dynamic that we also that gets a lot of light shown on it. But that's something fantastic to see. Had to get that up in here before we get rolling. Got to mention again, fantastic news site FTN has partnered with called Collectible. Lets you buy and sell real equity shares in rare and exciting sports collectibles, sports cards, memorabilia, all kinds of stuff, man. Share prices starting at just $1 allows you to get in on this action for pennies. Nothing to get yourself in the door for this. Like, I am staring at a Ricky Henderson card that's going to IPO on April 18th at 6 p.m. Eastern. Get in on this right now. Download the app. Use the code FTN for a chance to win limited edition Topps Project 70 cards signed by DJ Ski and over $10,000 in sports card prizes. Visit collectible.com/FTN for all the details. All right, Cody, I know we've talked about a lot of things so far, a lot of stuff. We've gone a lot of different directions. Getting us back on the good foot, talking about Hunter Long, diving into his production profile. Dude entered the collegiate level as a 3-star prospect per 24/7 Sports. Second team Associated Press All-American this last season and All-ACC in 2020. Now, you look all the way back to high school, and we're going to talk about some of his strengths. Second team All-State as a tight end, but also, and you see some of the grit show up. Defensive end, too. Dude racked up 7 sacks before heading to college as a high school senior, standing at 6'5", 254. You look at all the different metrics. I mean, the guy, he did well in his pro day. 4.76 40 time. He's got a 65th percentile speed score. Some of the other metrics are kind of, they're in the middle of the road. I mean, they check some boxes for tight ends. Production is there, 69th percentile college dominator, as well as his breakout age is at an 80th percentile mark. Cody, just off the top, man, production-wise, what stands out for you for Hunter Long?
I mean, this third season at Boston College obviously stands out the most, and that's why I guess at the beginning of this whole process, I was confused why he wasn't bumped up a little bit higher. When you look at a guy like Pat Freiermuth, who didn't test as well in like the athletic metrics coming out of high school, I believe he was in the 4.97 area for a 40-yard dash, whereas we can see how athletic Hunter Long is. And I know Freiermuth is way more athletic now, but he was injured, didn't get to go to his pro day, things like that. With Hunter Long, 91 targets this year. He led all tight ends in targets and catches in 2020, not Kyle Pitts. He was second in receiving yards among tight ends to Kyle Pitts, but he led everyone in targets and catches. I mean, what more do you want from a tight end, especially going to Boston College? He didn't play in the SEC and stuff like that, but he still garnered all the usage you could possibly want out of a tight end.
I mean, look, I'm on Player Profiler right now, and I'm staring at this man had a 23.3% target share in this last season. I mean, look, we also have to give a little bit of context. The quarterback play for Boston College was not great. It wasn't pretty, man. You watch the film, and you're seeing double pumps. You're seeing him missing. I'm seeing Hunter Long running open for days, and I'm like, what are you doing, baby? Throw the ball to him.
And a lot of his catches, even if you just go click on the highlights, like a lot of his catches are impressive because the ball is not where it needs to be. It's not where it needs to be. And he's out there like against corners.
Head to my timeline. There's a one-handed catch just sitting there talking about this show.
That's what I'm saying, left and right. It's impressive catch after impressive catch, which gets me excited even more because if you get him into a place with a competent quarterback, I mean – oh, baby, like, sky's the limit, right? Like,
dude, he checks so many different boxes, whether you're talking about just breakout age and things of that nature. Also, if you're looking at yards per route run, so you're looking at all tight ends with 25 or more targets. In 2020, he was 20th in this metric out of 58 tight ends. You go back to 2019, and this is given context also if we're not talking about as large of a market share, but what did he do when he was given the ball? The man was second, Cody, and yards per route run out of 89 tight ends. Now, we saw, like, his inline percentage, and I think that's where he's going to kind of sit in the NFL. I think he's not going to be that wide tight end. I think he's going to be your inline guy. Now, can he play a little bit outside when you ask him to? Can he play in the slot? Yes, I think that he has enough athleticism to do those things, but you're looking at over the last two seasons, around a 30% slot percentage for his snaps. Inline 57% to 63%. I think it's about right. I think it's where we're going to look at. Maybe that bumps more in the 65% range in the NFL. But anything else you want to hit on his production before we kind of move over to his strengths and things that you think he does really, really well translating in the NFL?
I mean, from a production standpoint, everything's kind of already out there. He only played 26 games. Seven of those games he had over 80 yards receiving. 15 of those games, he had over three receptions. It's the second most impressive game log behind Pitts. That's pretty much all you really need to know. Like, four games over 90 yards as a tight end against ACC opponents is impressive. Like, for everything we've laid out, I just don't see how and why he's getting overlooked as much as he is.
I don't disagree with you, man. I think that there's a lot of like, and we're a narrative street right now. We're in narrative season. I think people are thirsting for that NFL draft, and they're really like, all right, we've run out of good talking points, so let's just throw some stuff against the wall right now. I think that also you see the love list get even stronger and people leaning into guys that they love even more, trying to just cement those takes. So it's like people that like Freiermuth coming out, are they going to lean on those baby Gronk comparisons, which are god-awful and terrible to begin with? That's a bad comp. If you're making that comp, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry I'm slandering you, but you need to be better about that. So I think that that's why you're not seeing as much love as Hunter Long really deserves. And I'm going to kick this off here, man. I'm going to steal some of your thunder. I'm going to lean into his strengths first. The guy's got soft hands. I think he's going to be translate well to the NFL as far as a dependable weapon for the quarterback. Five drops over 133 targets over his collegiate career. I think that he's got enough quickness. Now, is he going to be this field stretcher, Kyle Pitts, like stretch the seam type of guy? I think that he can, but I think that that's not where he's what he's going to be asked to do consistently. But I think he has enough athleticism to separate on short intermediate routes, and that he's going to be a great underneath option. And I also think that he's really good as an inline blocker. Now, we'll kind of get to some of his other blocking as we kind of roll through this episode, but I think that he can be that three down tight end, man. And tell me, and I'm going to swing this to you, tell me what the name is for the player comp attached to Hunter Long on Player Profiler. And I know people are going to hear the name. They're going to think of recent, just where he looks like he's trying to get inducted into a biker gang, or he's trying to, like, he's had some type of midlife crisis, and they're not going to understand how good he was at the beginning of his career. But what is the name that's attached to his profile over on Roto Underworld?
Right, exactly what you said, right? Just trying to get into the Hall of Fame, trying to get into the announcer's booth. Out there on the Raiders, wearing Skechers, catching 5-yard dump offs, falling down. That's what you're going to think of when I say this name. But you're forgetting about everything that he did with the Dallas Cowboys. Jason Witten. I mean,
yes.
Honest to God, my comp when I broke him down was Hunter Henry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a good comp. And when we ran the numbers and everything came through, and Jason Witten populated, me and Matt and Nick looked at each other. We were like, holy shit. Nobody's ever been comped to Jason Witten in Player Profiler history before. Like, that is interesting. And then when you think about it and you look back and you kind of just take a step back, you're like, wow, that makes too much sense. Like, everything Hunter Long does fits that exact mold of what Jason Witten did. And I think the one thing people are going to forget is what you started this with. People are going to think about Jason Witten as an Oakland Raider. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas Raider, whatever, right? As a Dallas Cowboy, Jason Witten was dominant for over a decade. And that might be high praise. And, you know, some people hate comps. Some people hate giving comps because a lot of the easy comps are high-end ones. But this is not an individually given comp. This is tons and tons and tons of data coming together and giving you – Jason Witten, I mean – it's hard to get much better than that.
Dude, I love the Jason Witten comp. And I like the range of outcomes and stuff like that. And I think that, like, people lose direction on how good some players are, like, especially, like, players that have been in the league for so long. And they forget how good they were at the beginning of their careers, you know. And some of that context kind of gets lost. So I like the Witten comp for him. And I think the skill sets are very, very similar. You know, leaning into areas that Hunter Long can improve in and going to the NFL. I did notice, and not just besmirch the man, because Adam and I, we don't shade this as weaknesses for players. I'm more on the boat of, I want to tell people what players can do and how some of these skills translate to the NFL, and not really go to, okay, this is what he can't do. This is what he'll never do. This is what he sucks at. So really, areas that he can improve on to really take that skill set to the next level or reach these ceiling comps that we're talking about here. And looking at Hunter Long, I would like him to be a little bit stronger at the catch point. I did see enough catches in traffic where I was like, if you look at how many contested catches he had over the last season, I mean, the numbers are there and they show that he does have that ability. Like, he was tied for third with 11 at the position, but I did see it, Cody. I'm not going to lie. Like, I did see multiple times where he made catches in traffic or he went up and he should have come down with some balls. I'd like to for him to, considering his size and where I think he's going to be utilized at the next level over the middle of the field in the underneath and fighting for the ball with linebackers and stronger corners and stuff. I would like to see him get a little bit stronger at the catch point. I think he's a good inline blocker, and I like to see him. He's able to sustain blocks, and I think he's strong. And you see, I'm going to harken back to some of that defensive end mentality. I do see that dog in him, and I see that ability to sustain blocks. Now, when I've seen Boston College flex him out and use him as a lead blocker or more in the run game, I think he can get better in space. And I think that some of those things he needs to improve on at the next level. Now, as an inline blocker or pass protector, you look at his metrics over the last 2 years, I think that he'll be good. And I think that he can translate and be a three-down tight end. But if we're looking at his overall skill set and where he's going to fit at the next level, I think that as a move guy or being used in different blocking schemes, I think as a run blocker and in space, he needs to improve in that area. As well as, I mean, every player going to the NFL, I think, could clean up some of their route running. I think that he's good and he's got enough athleticism to win in the short and intermediate. I think the route running could still be improved a little bit. But what did you see as far as areas that you think that Hunter Long can still improve on and access a higher ceiling at the NFL level?
You hit the nail right on the head. Was, I think, one of his like strong traits is going to be having played the end in college or in high school, having played the end in high school. That's going to allow him to have an upper hand on these DNs while he's being an inline tight end blocking. That's going to be the big focus, right? So, like, his agility score being 23rd percentile hurts him, like, from a analytics standpoint, because agility score is the most telling metric for tight ends coming out, right? That is our favorite metric to look at and to say, you know, to gauge productivity at the next level. And Hunter Long, 23rd percentile, not elite, right? So when you think of something like that, not agile, it's Kyle Rudolph, it's Jason Witten, guys that work, like you said, in the middle of the field. Being stronger at the catch point is, you hit the nail right on the head with that one again. He needs to be stronger at the catch point. And I think being 255 pounds gives an upper hand. He's going to be working across the middle. Nine and three quarter inch hands, massive hands. I think if he just, you know, focuses on the key details, year one is always tough for these guys to come in the NFL. We know that. But this is one of the guys that I think is the most pro ready. I think when we get to the end of the year, Hunter Long is going to be has a great chance of being the tight end that actually has the most output. And, you know, that might be a hot take for some people because of Kyle Pitts. But I just think this Hunter Long profile fits a lot better in the NFL, being an inline tight end. And I just love the overall prospect that he brings to the table. And I don't see too many errors in this thing, in his profile, other than what you said. Like, he just needs to be stronger at the catch point. Mm-hmm. I think being the inline tight end is his calling. And just, I mean,
I love that you leaned into the comp and you brought it up earlier about Hunter Henry. That was one of the guys that I saw when I watched him. And if you head over to Player Profile or you look at, like, whether it's catch radius and his agility and a lot of different things match up there as well. I like the Hunter Henry comp. If we're talking about range of outcomes, I think that that fits. The other guy that I think that we could throw in the basket here, and we've seen him, I'm not going to say have struggles, but we've seen some of the same type of concerns crop up in his game at the NFL level, but we've seen a high ceiling with Cody. I'm going to throw Mark Andrews into the mix here. I see a little bit of Mark Andrews there in the fact that I think that I don't know if he'll be as good of a downfield weapon as Mark Andrews, but I think he could be a high volume weapon. Like, I think Hunter Long is going to be the discount Freiermuth for people in rookie dynasty drafts. I think he could be a high volume guy. And in looking at Freiermuth, the range of outcomes for both of these guys is you're hoping that they fall into a situation like Zach Ertz, and where they're going to be a guy that just could suck up those targets. And if they could do that, they're going to be a dependable weapon, and they're going to be good for us in fantasy, man. But the difference there is, and we're talking about the hype and the love and all these narratives out in draft Twitter streets right now. For rookie dynasty drafts, even tight end premium formats, you're going to be able to get Hunter Long way after you get Pat Freiermuth. And for that, in a guy that I think is in the same tier as Freiermuth, give me more Hunter Long then, because I'll take the discount all day. And for a guy that I think can access a similar ceiling, thoughts on the Mark Andrews comp? Because I saw you smirk there and kind of be like, ooh, the gears got turning there. I want to know how you feel about that.
I mean, pulling up that profile of Mark Andrews, and I had not thought of this one before, because as you know, like Mark Andrews was not the first tight end drafted by Baltimore. He went in the third round where Hayden Hurst went in the first. Mark Andrews going at the end of the third round. Now, if I kick this to you, like we talked about pre-show, his mock draft area ADP is in the 80th to 90th, 100th area, like where he's going to get picked. That is mid to late third, early fourth. That's where he's going to go. 6'5", 254. Mark Andrews, 6'5", 256. These guys athletically line up together. 23rd percentile agility for Hunter Long. 32nd percentile for Mark Andrews. You've seen what Mark Andrews can do. And just imagine, not to throw shade at Lamar Jackson, but just imagine putting a Hunter Long in a situation with Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, right? And you think about that, and then you pull back this comp, and you're like, Mark Andrews. Okay, now imagine Mark Andrews with Trevor Lawrence or with Justin Herbert. That type of thing excites me, right? Like if this is the comp, like even – and I think that's partially why I like the Hunter Henry one is because I wanted to see him land in Los Angeles, right, with the Chargers.
Cody, you're reading off my sheet here. I got three landing spots, and you just mentioned two of them, man. You're crushing this. Look, exactly. I'm talking mid-third here. I think Look at this. I got it written down right here. Jacksonville at 65. I got L.A. at 78. The only one you didn't steal was Houston at 67. We're talking about Baltimore coaching staff going to Houston. Look, the parallels are there, my friend. You got two out of the three right now. Not even looking at my sheet, man. Love it.
So that's hilarious because I have those two guys. I have those two teams written down. I want to hear your reason for loving Houston. Is it with or without Deshaun Watson? Because that's a sore subject. I don't want to bring that up. But landing spot in Houston, do you love that with Watson, obviously? Do you love that still without Watson? Because I have that on one of my worst case scenario landing spots just because of if Watson doesn't end up being there. Like, how are you feeling about the Houston situation for Hunter Long type?
I mean, I would feel fine with it because you're really looking at the coaching staff. You're looking at the draft capital and the lack of other passing game options there would create an avenue for him to access. Like if he hit the ground running in training camp and balls out, who the hell else besides Brandon Cooks is going to fight him for targets, Cody? If Brandon Cooks goes down, you could see Hunter Long be this year's Evan Ingram and get soak up 100-plus targets. Is that crazy to say? And I know people are going to think I'm being hyperbolic, and I'm just leaning into your mans here. But I'm being honest. The Houston Texans could be the landing spot that people will hate, and they will shrug, and they will just turn their nose at. If he lands there and Brandon Cooks goes down, who in the hell is he fighting for targets with? Regardless, Watson, no Watson, Tyrod, doesn't matter, Alex Smith, whatever quarterback targets, narrative you want to go there. Targets, baby. Who's going to fight him? Tell me who.
The ghost of Darren Fells, Jordan Akins, Chris Conley,
Andre Roberts, baby.
I think they're still alive, right? Like,
Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb.
Yeah. Duke Johnson's not there anymore. I mean. Yeah. How many other scrubs did they sign in the last month? Like
75 Mark Ingram targets. Let's go. You know, come on, man. I mean, he literally could walk into that type of target volume. That could happen.
You've convinced me because like right away I looked at the Houston situation. Like you said, it's just like it's not the best, but targets are targets.
There are two spots, man. The two ugliest teams out there right now that nobody wants to touch or have anything to do with. Houston, Detroit. These are places where guys can land and stuff like that. And I don't want Hunter Long to Detroit. They already got Hawkinson there. We're not playing all that. But like these ugly teams that everybody's going to be like, I don't want that. That's terrible. Like they got to throw the ball. And even if they throw the ball 400 freaking times, okay. They still have to, like, somebody's going to get targets.
Somebody's getting 100 targets. Cooks is not playing a full season. Cobb's not playing a full season. Like, it's
– I mean, mean, you want that. And the other thing about it is, if you get him late in Dynasty rookie drafts and he walks into 80-plus targets in his rookie season, if you wanted to keep him, you want to sell – exactly, dollar signs, baby. Like, you want to sell him off after getting him in the middle of the third round. Trade him away. That's fine. It's the game you play with tight ends every single year. Like, you get these guys for pennies, and then you trade them away in Dynasty. Dynasty doesn't have to be that hard, Cody. It really doesn't, man.
That's one of Matt's favorite things. It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to love him, but if it makes sense, just do it. You can draft a guy for nothing and flip him for something. That's the art of Dynasty.
Yeah, I love it, man. And you're talking about middle of the third round. Think that's where he goes. The EDP, if you're heading over to Grinding the Mocks, is at 80 right now. I know y'all have got something similar on Roto Underworld. Y'all have him in that similar type of bucket, like 80 to 90-ish range as far as like pick territory in the middle of the third?
Yeah, so last month we had him at 93.8, and this month he fell down to 104.7. That gets updated every 2 weeks. And that's mocks from the database isn't as big as the Ben Robinson's database over there. We do 12 mocks. We got the NFL.com guys, CBS guys, The Athletic, Matt Miller. We take those mock drafts, compile them, and currently we have Hunter Long is going off the board at tight end 5, 104th pick, which is the fourth round. I personally do not think he lasts to the fourth round. I think he's a third round pick, like we discussed before. But yeah, that's kind of the. I think that's the tier break really for tight ends. They have Tommy Tremble getting drafted in that similar area, which I don't see. But
yeah, I don't see that.
Nope. That's the top five. Hunter Long is kind of like that fifth guy that's at the tier break in the NFL mock drafts.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, we talked about it before turning on the mics, and I think that. Talking about some of these late tight end targets, especially when you're attacking best ball. So if you're doing that right now and you're capitalizing on all these rookie ADPs, because as soon as these guys get drafted, Adam and I have discussed this at length, all their ADPs are going to go up. So if you're playing, like they have the War Room right now that's live, the large field tournament, they're going to have more of those in the weeks to come. You're trying to differentiate from the field. You land at the final table. And it's you versus 11 other people. And you're like, all right, made it this far. How is my team different? Drafting a Hunter Long late is a great way to differentiate your squad, man. If we're talking about if the fever dream happens, Cody, and he walks into 80 or 100 targets, this could happen. And it's a great way to differentiate your squad and being at that final table. So sign up with the promo code FTN today. They will honor a money-back guarantee up to $100 in the first month. If you do not love it, head over there, get drafting, check out some more of these streams that Adam and I have done on YouTube discussing all of these best ball drafts. The values are there to be had. They're right for the taking. So got to get in on this action. Cody, this was a fantastic episode. Knew we were going to chop it up here. It's going to be straight fire, man. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. And just this is my favorite time of year. So I want to appreciate you guys for having me on here.
This was fantastic, man. Again, pump that content, man. What do you got going on in Roto Underworld for the good people before we get up out of here?
So like we've talked about before, the draft kit will be coming out in about a month. We got some best ball rankings coming out this week. Just everything. Like every week we got more content coming out, podcasts, everything you can find. On wherever you get podcasts, look up Roto Underworld. Otherwise, just stay tuned, stay plugged in. Twitter at Carpentier NFL, Patreon at Carpentier NFL. Check it out. And I just appreciate the support. And I love chopping it up with guys like Derek.
This is fantastic. So Adam and I are going to be back next week discussing more NFL draft prospects, discussing more best ball, discussing more all things Dynasty and Fantasy, baby. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.